Welcome to Apply the Exercise Science to Strength and Conditioning Training. Facts, not tales, with strength coach Fernando Rossetti. Okay, this is episode 2. And today we're going to be talking about conditioning. Truly VO2 max development and cardiovascular development and the adaptations that will take place with different types of training. So the question is, what should I be doing for cardio? That's what I'm going to call it. What should I be doing for cardio? Should I be doing high-intensity interval training, sprint training, aerobic endurance training? Should I be running on a treadmill for half hour? Should I be running for 45 minutes? At what type of intensity? So on and so forth. This is literally one of my favorite topics of discussion when it comes to fitness. And the reason why is because for decades, the ideal exercise intensity has been always questioned. And people just go round and round with different approaches, trying to get the best results. Most fitness fanatics would automatically assume that quote-unquote cardio exercise is best to lose weight and just to be healthy in general. And on the other side, you have most people thinking that lifting weights is good exclusively to develop muscle mass or get stronger or simply get that quote-unquote toning effect. But let's go back to what is cardio. Isn't that supposed to be when you train your cardiovascular system? And if that's the case, aren't we doing that anytime we exercise? I mean, regardless of what we do? Let's go back in time. If we were still training like in the 80s, most weight rooms were still be just full of men. And we will still have all these aerobic classes full of women. And yes, remember the outfits. That was something, wasn't it? On top of that, the ladies would not lift weights, not only because they didn't feel comfortable in the weight room, because they thought they could get too big. And for the dudes, the ideal workout was anything and everything that Arnold would do or any other bodybuilder. That was the norm, period. But times have changed and we are a little smarter now. I mean, I'm not talking about football players because we're still dumb. But, I mean, science has evolved. And luckily, I went to school to learn that. It is obvious that depending on what your goals are, is how you should train. Now, the reality is that to be well-rounded, concurrent training is the ideal way to go. And by concurrent training, I mean both strength and conditioning, quote-unquote, cardio at the same time. But I'm going to stay on the subject for today and focus on what, again, is typically called cardio training. So let's talk about the science. During a study, there was a study that took 10 weeks and there were two groups compared. There was a group that was called aerobic endurance group, and the second group was called the high intensity interval training group. So for the aerobic endurance group, they had subjects running at 75% of their VO2 max capacity for 30 minutes. They were running around a 400 meter track. And for the high intensity interval training group, they had them on the same track running 200 meter sprints at 130 to 150% VO2 max capacity, which means they were truly going really hard on that 200. Obviously, it was a sprint. And for the remaining of the 200 meters, they were doing active recovery, which meant basically whatever time they took to do that sprint, let's say that it took them 20 seconds to do the sprint, the 200, they will rest three times that. So let's say 20 seconds to sprint and then 60 seconds on a fast walk or a jog to finish the 400. Now, this group was also working for the same time, meaning for a half hour. And the measurements they did was were obviously before the experiment took place and after, to see the results, right? What kind of adaptations. The first measurement was aerobic capacity on a VO2 max test, and they noticed better improvements on the high intensity interval training group on VO2 max. The second test they did before and after was the anaerobic glycolytic capacity test on a treadmill, also on a treadmill test. And they found a better improvement on the high intensity group. And lastly, they looked at the other energy system, the ATP/phosphagen system. And we'll talk more about the energy systems later. But this is a system that is good when we go all out. It's the one that helps us work very hard for a very limited time. That is, they measure the 50 meter sprint before and after training, and the times were better on the high intensity interval training group after training. They also measure strength on the legs for flexion and extension, and they found improvement on leg strength on the high intensity training group, whereas the aerobic endurance group actually lost strength on leg extension. Now let's try to interpret the results. Why did people running at lower intensity for a longer time lost leg strength when compared to the sprinting group? Well, depending on the type of training you do is truly how you are coding your body to work. That is, there are changes in how your DNA expresses. There are different adaptations that are taking place based on the energy systems that you are stimulating. Basically, what you're telling your body is how you want to look like and what type of work you're getting ready to do. That's as basic and simple as it could be. I mean, the human being is literally a biological machine that adapts to whatever takes place, right? So whatever type of stimulus you give to the body is going to adapt to that stimulus. The cells learn and they adapt. That's the bottom line. And when it comes to muscle mass, if you are aware, we have slow twitch fibers and fast twitch fibers. So there, when you're training slow, you are going to activate slow twitch fibers. And when you are training fast, you're activating fast twitch. And the fast twitch fibers are meant to contract fast, and they're bigger as well, so they are stronger. So if you exclusively focus on training slow, meaning endurance type of training, you are activating your slow twitch fibers. And in the meantime, the fast twitch are just sitting back watching the show, literally. They don't do anything. Therefore, they don't have the need to work, and you are going to lose strength. That's one of the reasons. Conversely, when you sprint or you train at high intensities, and that's in science, that's arguably above 75% of your work capacity. So when you're training over that 75, and that could be running or lifting heavy weights, whatever that is, you are not just training those small, slow twitch fibers. You are then required to recruit more muscle mass and utilize those type 2 bigger, faster, and stronger fibers to do the work. And not only that, you are also utilizing potentially all three energy systems that I insist we will talk about that in detail later, but you are using pretty much every system in the body to meet the demands of the higher expectations of that bout of exercise. And what's happening is you're telling your body, I want to look stronger, I want to be faster, and at the same time, I want to have more cardiovascular capacity. That is, not only to, you know, consume more energy, but also to feed my muscles that energy. As a coach, I can tell you that high intensity type of conditioning paired up with weight training is going to make you the most balanced functionally and health-wise. So go for it. Now, I'll tell you, it's not for the faint of heart. And the other important matter to really consider is this type of training, just like any other training, requires proper periodization, meaning requires the right amount of training at the right amount of the time that allows for proper recovery to avoid overtraining. That's very important. Now let's take it a little further. Another paper that I'm using for this episode is a review of 18 studies that concluded that short sprint interval training, that is bouts of less than 10 seconds of all out effort, are not only more time efficient than high intensity interval training, but contributed to very similar results to longer efforts such as Wingates. And if you're not familiar with what a Wingate is, you probably don't want to. A Wingate is basically you get on an erg bike and you go with some, they add some resistance to it, and then you're going to go for 30 seconds all out, and it's absolutely brutal. I don't recommend that to anybody. That is actually a golden standard for the NHL combine to measure anaerobic capacity. So the fact that they found similar results on people working for less than 10 seconds all out compared to people working for 30 seconds all out, That's very amazing. In addition, those results on the sprint group took place in a faster, in a shorter time compared to the high intensity interval training. That is only after a few weeks. So that's another really, really good valid reason of why that should be considered. Now, they were not looking at strictly running for the sprints. They were looking at biking as well, like full out efforts, right? That show comparable results to the longer high intensity interval protocols. Now, you're probably thinking, but if I'm only sprinting, that's not enough cardio to be fit or healthy, is it? And it's a very valid question. HIIT has proven effective. Sprints have proven effective building VO2 max. So basically, when you're building your VO2 max, what you're doing is you're increasing your engine size when it comes to oxygen consumption, right? So you're going from maybe a V4 or a V6 to a V8. And when that engine is bigger, that means you can consume more energy and you can do more work. So if you can build that engine faster, why wouldn't you? I think it's just a given. If you can build that engine and consume more energy and then do more work, then you're going to be fit faster. And then, you could, if you want to switch to more endurance type of work, that's fine. But guess what? You will have more capacity. Overall, you will have more capacity to do work as a system. That is the bottom line. So I think that this is something that should be considered by everybody, including this type of training, not necessarily exclusively in a program. I'm not saying exclusively, but as one of the variants of conditioning training. I'm going to stop now. I think this was a lot of information. I hope you liked it, though. I think there are really crucial points here, considering that most people don't do high-intensity interval training, and even less people do sprint type of training. So please think about it, and remember that when you train hard is great, but training smart is even better. This was another episode of Applied Exercise Science with strength coach Fernando Rosette. See you next week.